To eat from the table of life, drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply.
Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, though we thank you for this day that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for this privilege we have to come together to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord, to know you and the power of your resurrection, Father. We just ask that you would bless each one here this morning, Lord, and those that are not, those that would listen in, Lord, that you would just touch every heart. Lead and guide, Father. Give us words to speak, Lord. So we thank you for the songs, the worship, and the praise to your lovely name, where we commit all, Lord, ourselves, and all things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Good to see you this morning. And we thank God once again for the privilege to be here. Forgive me, I'm a little bit clogged here. And Brother Michael was talking about the spelling of the word altar. And so I went back. And I looked at my notes to make sure, because I told my wife, she told me, she corrected me, because usually I'm a real good bad speller. And so I thought, I probably just did it. And but I knew how it was spelled, because I thought of it when I first got on this, because I searched it. And so I looked at the definition, the meaning of both of the words, and I looked at it in the scripture. And so I knew what it was, and then so I thought, well, maybe I just did it on accident. And so then when I mentioned it to Brother Michael, so he could fix it if it was still there, I went back through my notes, and somehow or another, and this is the third message I have for the next one. I had the titles, each one. I looked in my notes, and the fourth one had E. And so I thought I had spelled it wrong to some, I don't know. But anyways, so now once again, we want to greet you here and those that are listening in. And we're happy to be with you this morning. We thank God. And I think Brother Michael mentioned that we're going to be gone on Sunday. And I'm embarrassed that I don't have the number correct. Is it 44? 46, yeah. So, yeah, that's not bad. Between 40 and 50, I knew. So, 46 years. And and we'll spend some time with the children. That'll be a good thing. We're looking forward to that. And so, we appreciate your prayers, and we just appreciate Brother Goomba. He said he'll be ministering. And so, we want to do that. And now, I want to just say before I get started, I guess all ministers struggle, and we talked about this before, but I find myself struggling with some of these messages because of the simplicity of them. And I know that many of you are much deeper in the message, but I think my thought is that maybe the Lord's leading me this way because we have some young people here and we have some young people listening in. And so I think maybe that's it. And so we just it's hard to explain. I mean, if I had Brother Gumba come and Brother Michael come and say, explain to the people the leading of the Spirit, how you're led to get your message, how you're led to when you come to the Pope, when you do these things. And I think God deals with every man differently. Amen. I think that God has a way that in that relationship you have with God, God has a way to let you know what the direction. And it's true that sometimes we don't know. Sometimes we come here and then we just start. And then we depend on God. And God is merciful. He helps us. We know that God is the one doing this. And here not too long ago, Brother Gumba kept talking about there were some messages that he was bringing several months ago. And he would just, every time he was thanking God, because God was putting those quotes in there, and he knew it wasn't him. And so when you get that, and sometimes you have something you're going with, and you know there's something missing there, and then God just gives it to you, and he just gives it to you, and he just gives it to you. And so it's very humbling. In the study sometime, it's very humbling. Because I know I'm the least. I know I'm not smart enough. I know I'm not a good preacher. I know all those things, and and I read the other day where Brother Branham said the same thing, but he was the best. And so, however you say whatever you want to about why he was saying, but. I know that I'm not much of a preacher. I know that. And so I don't have to, I don't pretend like I am. I just try to be faithful to the calling that I have. And that's another thing. Sometimes we talk about the pressures of the ministry and different things, but you say, well, why do you do it? It's like Paul said, woe is me if I don't. And I think when most ministers, you'll find their desire is not to preach. It's not that they want to come and have that position. Brother Branham said, usually that guy that God wants is the guy that's going the other way. He don't want it because he's fearing that place. He's fearing it. But when you know God has put you there, you know God that you can't get away from it. There's just something there you can't get away from it. And so I think that's too, when you're wanting to, when you're building a message, it sometimes you just struggle. You struggle sometimes because you want to know that it's him. You want to know that it's what he said. And so let me just move on here and get right into the message. I want to go back. I'm still reading this in 1 Kings 17, chapter 17. And we got a little ways down to the 17th verse. And I have several scriptures that I'd like to read today to add in here. And so you just bear with me. And I'm thankful for the young people, the ones asking some questions. It means so much. And that means you're listening. That means that you're listening. And so... and that you have something that you want to know. So we thank God for that. So beginning at verse 17, and it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman. Now, these things were all of God sending Elijah down to this woman and God commanding this woman to sustain him, to take care of him. And so... now the drought's coming to an end now. It's time for it to rain and, things are getting close. And then he's fixing to have the showdown with the prophets. And so there's a lot on, God has a lot on Elijah's agenda, he may not know all about it, but a lot of things are happening after this. Boom, 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 boom. And so a lot of things that God's doing. And so now, but God's fixing to do something else for her. And he's once again going to vindicate the prophet. And Brother Branham, that's one of the things Brother Branham has brought to our attention over and over and over, is that when God is doing these things, it's not for a show. He's doing it for his children, but at the same time he's doing something for his children, he's vindicating that this is the voice of God.
Yes,
and that's something that, I, as I said, that I really, I think, is good for our young people to see that, to get that, to understand that. We've got to recognize that the voice of God is in the land. And the voice of God has been in the land in every age.
Yes, sir.
And so the hard thing for people in every age is change.
Yes, sir.
Because God in every age has been bringing more revelation. And sometimes there's a corner that's turned, just like it was in Paul's day, in Jesus' day. That was a major corner. There was a corner. Brother Branham said, as long as you're building a wall, you're just going straight. You're just going straight along there, and anybody can do that. You know, you just put another stone on, another block on. You're just going in a straight line. They put a string on it, and you just go. But when you come to the corner, when you come to the corner and you have to make the turn, now you can't send a helper to do that. You can't send an inexperienced man. Now it's going to take a real mason. The mason is the man who knows how to turn the corner. And because you got to keep that thing plumb and you got to keep it level, and it's got to tie together just right. If you don't, your wall is not going to be what it should be. And so Brother Ben said it takes the hand of a real mason now to come in. And before they had all these speed leads and all the things that they have now to make it so easy, back in the old days, a mason would build the corner. He would come in, he would have a square, a framing square, he'd lay off that corner, they'd pull the corners of the building, of course they'd be laid off. But then he would build that lead up, build up course by course. He might go three this way, four that way, and then tie them together. He would offset every row be offset until he come up till he's got one block on the top. And then they would hook a line block, it's a piece of wood that holds a string, they'd hook on the first row, he'd do the same thing on the other end. And then all the helpers could come in and they'd start laying those blocks just in that straight line. They didn't have to do, they couldn't go wrong. They couldn't go wrong because now that lead's built. Every one of those block in the lead is, they're splitting perfectly in half. Per the block 16 inches as an 8-inch lap on every one of them. So now these helpers, they're just laying the block to that string, just going right along, nothing to it. But now when they turn that corner, they go down to the next one. That mason's got to go lay that corner. He's got to build that thing up because now there's where the change is made. And so that's what happened in Paul's day. That's exactly what happened in Jesus' day. They had been under a totally different plan of redemption.
Yes, sir.
And think about that word, redemption. That was their redemption, was obedience to the word of God in that day.
Yes, sir.
There was no other way. There was no other country. There was no other religion. There was no other man's word. There was nothing above the word of Moses, the law that was given to the people. That was God's chosen way for that day.
Amen.
So that was the food.
Right.
That was the children's food. The children of Israel, that was their food for that day. And they were living in that. And God was coming down and vindicating that.
Amen.
And he had sent them a prophet and correct them and do different things, deliver them, do great signs and wonders. Every time he'd send a voice, he'd vindicate the voice.
Yes.
He'd do some great thing and he'd raise the dead or do some supernatural something, proving that God was there. Because no matter how much people struggle with this religion and this idea and that religion, when you see the dead raised to life,
yes, sir.
Now everybody now has to consider this. That this isn't this, there's no religion can do this, there's no theology can do this, there's no man that can do this.
Amen.
Now you truly, genuinely have something now on your hands. When you see God raise the dead,
right.
When you see flesh healed, when you see blinded eyes opened,
amen.
Now you got to deal with that because there's no man can do it.
Right.
There's no machine can do it. There's no doctors that can do it. There's nobody else that can do it.
Amen.
So now you have walked into the presence of God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And that's exactly what it is now. When God is doing something and you're seeing Him doing, you're hearing Him doing it, you have come into the presence of God.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Because He's the Word.
Amen.
And when the Word is made manifest, now there you are, right in the midst of it. And people come into the presence of God, and Brother Branham said they hear the Word, they hear the revelation coming forth, and then they make a decision.
Yes.
They either make it here, they make it here, they're making a decision.
Amen.
And so that decision, it affects their eternal destiny. Okay? The way that they're going.
Yes, sir.
Which we know that was determined before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
That's not something that you're just determining now, but it's something that you're manifesting. You're proving what God had in His mind before the foundation of the world by your actions, by your reception to the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
That's what they're doing. They're just proving it.
Amen.
They're counting themselves unworthy of eternal life.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And the children of God can't do anything different than accept and believe it.
That's right.
It's just, that's just the way that it is. You can't change it. There's people that try hard to believe this message. There's people that try hard to believe this Bible.
Right.
You know, there's people that don't believe it at all.
Yes, sir.
And there's people that say they believe it, yet they interpret it their own way.
Yes, sir.
They don't call it an interpretation. They just say, well, what I think, there's your interpretation.
Yes, sir.
What you think.
Yeah.
No. God don't care what you think. God don't care what I think. No, God's very specific.
Yep.
Amen.
That's right.
If you tell your child, you have Gabriel, Aspen, you tell them don't go play in the road. You stay in the yard, stay on the grass, you don't go out there. And Gabe tells his mom, said, no, Mom, I'm okay. I'll see the cars, I'll see this, I'll see that. No worries, I can do that. That's not okay. Mom's already said no.
Right.
Mom said, no, don't play there. You get to play in and you're not looking anymore.
Right.
Your mind is on what you're doing. It's not on the traffic. You play in the grass and it don't matter. You just can do whatever you want, long as you want, however you want. But you don't go on the road. So when you start reasoning out God's word, that brings death.
That's right.
It just brings death. There can only one thing be, and that's just take it the way that He said it.
Amen.
It came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sins to remembrance? And to slay my son? And I read this and I thought, why is she saying that? But I see some humility here. I see some repentance here. I tried to look up some of these. I looked up this word mistress and I was really surprised that, but when I went to the scripture, most of the time I'm reading this word mistress and it's a virtuous woman. And there was a quote where Brother Branham was talking about this. And he said, this woman must have been a very virtuous woman because God sent his prophet down there in the time of famine and there was many widows. There was many widows, but here was this one. And so when I looked at this, when you start looking up the meanings, I was really surprised because a mistress is, as you know, is considered when a man has a mistress, he's married and she's just a by the way. And so, maybe even she's married too, and so it's adultery. And so, and when you search the word in the scripture, it's referred to as women with a familiar spirit. So those that were diviners, those that did those things, that word's used also for that. But don't lock onto that. I'm going to give you three or four definitions so that you can see it's a wide range. because this is also used as Hagar called Sarah her mistress, because it was her head. She was her lord. That's what she was. So it's a married man's mistress is a woman who's not his wife, with whom he's having a relationship. A mistress is a female teacher. A servant's mistress is the woman that he or she works for. A woman, listen to this one, if a woman is mistress of a situation, and this could be many different things here, she has complete control over it. So that's what a mistress is. And so when you go into the scriptures, you'll see it in the divining and the witchcraft and those different things. So it can lean that way too. So it just made me wonder, prostitution, whoredom, those things. All of that's related under this. And so we don't have any history on this woman, so I can't say this way or that way how that applies. But she brought her sins up. She's the one who brought it up. And so she's asking this question. And I'm going to read 18 again. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sins to remembrance and to slay my son? And let's see here. Oh, another thing I wanted to say. I had myself a couple notes here and I'm trying to. When we were talking about that word sustain, that God said, I've commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. And that word sustained also means to feed. It means to nourish. It means there's several words that apply to this. So sometimes you use the word sustain and it sounds like maybe something different, but there's a lot of meanings to that also. And I thought that after the service on Wednesday, Brother Michael gave a good summary that God knew that this woman was going to accept it. God knew that this woman was a daughter of God. He knew this woman was going to receive the prophet and get it. But if you look at that word, if you follow that word through, sustain, it's the same word that was used with Joseph. He nourished his brethren and Jesus feeding them, different places in the scripture. It's the same meaning, same word. So, verse 19. And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode. And he laid him on his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said unto Elijah, now by this I know thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth. The word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Now, she already knew that he was a man of God. She already knew that God was with him. That barrel didn't just keep having meal in it, and that curse. That was another, some help I got. I've been saying it wrong. Cruise. Okay, that cruise had oil in it. It didn't run out of oil, and it didn't run out of meal. Okay? She already was living in the supernatural. She was eating the supernatural. That was her spiritual food. That was her spiritual food in that day. She was living in the presence of God. This was the man of God. This was the presence of God, the works of God, the word of God. She was living it. Every time she ate that meal, every time she poured that oil, she was living. She was eating the food for her day.
Amen.
You said that was natural food. It was natural food, but it was supernatural food. Because it came right from the hand of God.
Right.
And this was the secret. God didn't send that prophet down there and say, "Hey, Israel, this woman, she's not going to run out while the rest of the nation's running out. This woman's not going to run out. Her oil, her meal." No, it was a secret.
Right.
This was the secret that was going on.
Amen.
Between her and God.
Right.
Remember when Elisha later on, he called down after the meal offering that he had. Christ. What was the meal offering? The meal offering was Christ. Remember when the prophet, when they had poisoned the school of the prophets, they had mixed something, somebody put some wild gourds in there, and somebody, because one of them didn't know, and another one seen it and did know, and he said, "There's poison in the pot." And so the prophet just comes and throws some meal in there, which represents Christ, which represents the Word, and he healed it, and they ate it. After that meal offering that he had, Christ, and sustained the widow's house with it, notice later on when he called fire down out of the heavens and so forth and proved his sending. Huh? So he was proving his sending with the meal and with the oil. He was proving his sending when he raised the child to life. Not many days after this, he's going to prove his sending by calling fire down out of the heavens. And it consuming the stones and consuming the water, consuming the offering. And God giving those 850 prophets.
Right.
Think about it. One had 400 and she had 450, I think. Whatever it was between them, there was 850 prophets. 850 prophets that ate from Jezebel's table. She fed them. They were hers. She controlled them. If she needed a prophecy, she got it. If she needed prayer, she needed any, she got it. They catered to her daily. That's the same thing the denominations is doing. That's exactly what they're doing. That's what the Catholic Church is doing. That's what the Protestant churches are doing. That's what all the rest of them are doing. God's not in those great big numbers. So if you're thinking about that, if you're looking at that, you need to go back to Genesis and come all the way through your Bible. Because
yes,
God ain't never been in the numbers.
Right.
He's always been in a little group. Always. All the way through the Bible.
Yes,
and if rejection bothers you, you need to go back to the Bible you claim you believe. Because he's always been rejected. Every prophet was rejected. Everyone God sent on the scene was rejected. It's amazing, isn't it, that we keep thinking it's going to be different today.
Right.
People's expectations come the same way that people came in that day.
Yes, sir.
The same thing they did in Jesus' day, they're doing the same thing today.
That's right.
Amen.
That's why they had a hard time with John the Baptist.
Yeah, sure.
It's some homeless wacko. He's some homeless crazy guy. Out here talking about the Word of God.
Yeah.
But somebody heard something that he said and it sounded right.
Yes, sir.
And they told somebody else and they told somebody else. And pretty soon he had a group of people down there that was listening to what he said.
Amen.
Because they all agreed that the politics is crooked and the churches are crooked and the priests are crooked and all the rest of them are crooked.
Yeah.
So it takes some crazy person, some look down upon person,
yes, sir,
to come on the scene and speak against it.
Right.
If they fit in with that, then that's the problem.
Right.
They're going to put their arm around them. They're going to give them what they need to make them submit to their idea.
Right.
That's what's wrong. And frankly, that's what's happened in the politics here in this country.
Right.
That's the reason Trump went in.
Right.
And all of the nonsense of all of the lies, and they're proving it now. They're proving the Russiagate. They're proving all that other stuff. It was all fabricated. It was fabricated. People are sick and tired of the politics. They're sick and tired of the liars. And frankly, they would have got by. They would have got by with it. If they, my opinion, just forgive me, and I'm going to get off this real fast. If they hadn't went into this LGB stuff, if they hadn't put that stuff in the schools, I think they could have kept just sliding in with their lies, with their lies. But when they started that nonsense, that's just pure devil.
That's right.
That's pure devil.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I've seen a video. I watched it with the principal and the teacher standing there with children smaller than Gabriel. And one of those guys with a miniskirt on, standing on the tables, dancing. So when he's up there, the children are looking up and they're looking right at him. And all the rest of them are clapping. The teachers, the principal are clapping and laughing. Brother and sister, that's insanity.
That's right.
That's not a mistake. That's insanity.
That's right.
That's demonic. That's the devil in action.
Amen.
And people are tired of it. But the problem is, they don't have the revelation to really get out of it.
Right.
They don't have the revelation to get out of the religious side of that.
Amen.
But they know the rest of it's wrong. And they're doing their best to fight that. But it's time. We're at a climax.
Yes, sir.
We're at a climax for Satan to take over. And it's happening. It's a done deal. You can't change it. 127. And now remember now when Elijah later on he called down after the meal offering, Christ sustained the widow's house with it. Notice later on he called fire down out of the heavens and so forth and proved his sending of God, the prophet spirit. And notice in the wilderness now, when he was lying down there under the juniper tree, an angel come down with the same kind of meal. And this meal, every time, Brother Branham's saying, this is Christ. This is Christ. This is the Word. This is the Word coming. The meal offering is Christ. See, and he was laying, let's see, and he baked some cakes and fed him. And a little later on, he put him to sleep again. And woke him up, and he had some more meal cakes, and baked there for him. And he went on the strength of those cakes for 40 days. Glory to God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. How we love him. Spiritual food in due season. That's right. Spiritual food. And so I just, you know that 40 days comes up over and over and over in the scripture. Old Testament, New Testament, over and over. And so Ezekiel talked about it. And when the prophet was laying on one side for 40 days, laid on the other side for 40 days. And then Jonah talked about it with Nineveh. And Brother Adam said 40 represents judgment. And so we know that. And then Jesus came on the scene and he fasted for 40 days. And so I'm going to read one scripture. This is in Acts chapter 1. He speaks of the 40 days here. And he said, verse 1 through 4, I think, and the former treatises have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. All that he began to do, all that he began to teach, that was the beginning of it. That was the beginning. And that was going to continue right on to this day. Until the day which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now, this was up while he was in his flesh. This was up to that time. Then he was went to Calvary. Then he comes back and he's seen of them for 40 days. And he comes back in the Spirit and he continues on, continues. See? Verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. Amen. So he, that comes in there time and time again. Back in Spiritual Food in Due Season, 129. Now it's not meet to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. Didn't Jesus say the same thing to the Syrophoenician woman? He was sent to his own, that is right, and that's who he came. And he never went to the Gentiles. And now today, he visits the Gentiles in their time. See? And he said, it's not meat. Now, he said in that day, it wasn't their time. Right. And that's what he told the woman. She came and she called him Son of David. And he said, that message is not to you. I've come to these. And not to the Gentiles. He came to his own. He didn't come to them.
Amen.
And that's the most beautiful display of humility that you can find, yeah, is that woman. And I added that scripture here because I wanted to read it. And there's some things just before it I'm going to throw in here just for good measure. He said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. Didn't Jesus say the same thing to the Syrophoenician woman? He was sent to his own. See, he never went to the Gentiles. And now today he visits the Gentiles in their time. This was the time. The last days was the time. And I heard a preacher talking about the quote yesterday where Brother Branham said, that from Revelations 10 is to the Jews. And we know from that time, we know that he turned back to the Jews. But they're failing to realize that there was a promise that it was going to go to both at the same time. That there was something you can't, and if you're going to say, as the prophet did, that Revelations is in chronological order. Is that right? He said that. It was in chronological order. So then you're going to take the quote and say Revelations 10. From Revelations 10, it's just to the Jews. That ain't going to work out. That isn't going to work out, is it, brother? Because you got Revelation 6, you got Revelation 7, you got Revelation chapter 8. There was your seals. There's the revealing of the seven seals. Did you hear that? Did you hear that message?
Amen.
Then who was that to?
Amen.
Huh? That was to the bride. So sometimes we're putting too much on some of those quotes. Brother Branham's telling us something. He's telling us something when he says those things. But then when you make it something more, to me, the perfect example is when he said, time is no more. Okay? And so people, there's still many mass people, that's still a literal thing for them. In other words, there won't be no more clocks, there won't be no more nothing anymore. That's not what he said. He said, time would be no more. And he stops. Okay? But then, if you follow the mystery, because it's in a mystery, it's always in a mystery. So he says it in a way to throw them off. He says it in a way to hide it from them. And then he comes right back around and you just watch him come right through the seal book there explaining what it is. It's the end of the seventh church age. It's the end of the church ages. It's the end of the church ages. It's the end of redemption. It's the end of the mediatorial work. Father, he identifies it. But he says something, and then people take it as a blanket statement. And there's so much done just like that. It's a blanket statement over the whole thing. And you find out that you will really mess up a lot of things when you do that. Because Brother Branham said, Did he say time was no more? That mighty angel come down in Revelation 10, he said, put one foot on the land and one foot on the sea and declare that time is no more. Right? And that's what the prophet said, isn't it? He backed it up. He said, that's exactly right. Yep. And then they come to him and he said, no. He said, I didn't say that. He said, even the millennium will still be time. He said, in the millennium, there will still be time, 1,000 years. So it doesn't work in the theology. It doesn't work in the carnal reasoning. It doesn't work in the intellectual. It's only going to work when God reveals it the way that it is. Amen. And when he reveals it the way that it is, you're not leaving out this part over here and taking this part over here and leaving that out over here and taking what you want. And that's something you heard many times right here from these different ones. That you're not going to leave off part of it. As Brother Goma said, the same quotes they're coming to prove you wrong with is we're going to take their same quote and put it with this. Yep. The same quote that they think disproves this. That's what they're failing to get. Is that quote has to go with the rest of it. It's got to go together.
Amen.
And once again, he said the hard part is change. He said it's hard for people to change. Now, we've had this for 2,000 years. Is that right? From Calvary to the Seventh Church Age, we've had for 2,000 years. And it came through there, and we came out with a lot of baggage. We came out with a lot of stuff that we found out is not even in the Bible. You know, especially, and even the Message people now, they kept on. My brother, it was 1965. Brother Branham's almost to leave. It was in December of 65 that he preached the rapture, right? December of 1965, right? His last days on earth. And he preaches the message, the rapture. And what is the first thing that he teaches you? That word's not in your Bible. Huh? That the word rapture is not in your Bible. And so you have it all figured out, what the rapture is, what it's going to be, how it's going to work. Remember now, the theologians have been teaching us for 2,000 years. They've been pumping in this stuff. And these ideas and these traditions and theology have been building and building and building until it comes to, it's seeming it in. And people, until they went and checked, they did not know that word was not in the Bible.
That's right.
Anybody want to admit that? Did you know that word was not in the Bible? The word rapture, did you know that? Huh? Rapture. Rapture. It's not in there. The word rapture is not in there. But we've been using that word for 2,000 years. 2,000 years. And telling exactly how it's going to be. That they're going to be caught away like this, they're going to be like this, going to be like this. So if we didn't even know the word wasn't in there, how is the rest of it going to be right? That's the reason why the prophet comes. He comes to reveal. He comes to interpret. He's the divine interpreter of the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
And that's the first revelation. If we can get that revelation,
that's right,
then we will come to this message for all of our spiritual understanding.
Amen.
We will recognize that it don't matter how much we carry this Bible, don't matter how much we read this Bible, you're not going to understand it until that prophet tells you what it means.
That's right.
Now that might be a rude awakening for some people. Some people don't like that. I'm not following no man. If you believe God, you're following a man.
Right.
It's always been a man. God always uses a man.
That's right.
God always reveals it through a man.
Amen.
And then he gives you the revelation of what that man is saying. There's no way around it. You go as far back as you want to. It was happening through a man. Moses was a man. He brought the revelation. He went up on the mountain. Was it 40 days? He went up there for 40 days. Got the revelation, came back down. And that goes to show you how long it took for them to go into idolatry. Huh? Immediately. They brought all their earrings and their necklaces and all that, all their gold. They put it there. They melted it down. They made a calf. A golden calf. And here, their prophets up here getting the revelation, getting the spiritual food, getting these things. Our prophet tried to tell them in that day the same thing. And even in the dreams and things that was happening, he told them, he said, you stay here. And he said, everybody started running all over the country. Everybody's trying to do something. Everybody's going here, going there. He said, no, stay there. He said, when I get the revelation, I'm coming back. I'll come back with the revelation. I'll preach it here first.
Yes, sir. That's all right.
131. You say, why is it that the message don't go to these great big places? These big crusades. Like amongst the denominations. Huh? You ever been presented that before? I have. Yeah. I told him before. Yeah, God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet. Just like John the Baptist forerun the first coming of Jesus Christ, he raised up a prophet to forerun the second coming of Jesus Christ. Yes, according to the Word of God, according to the Bible. Absolutely, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
And what's their reply? Well, don't you think that God would tell everybody? Well, would everybody believe it? You tell them God sent a prophet. Then why doesn't that get them? Why doesn't that say, oh, well, I want to hear about that? No, it's, you know, those, we shouldn't talk about those things. I don't need to know that. That's not none of your business. I don't need to know that. No, I like my church. Yeah. You're comfortable where you are. You are comfortable. I don't care what religion you're in. You watch people, they get comfortable. They're satisfied. And that's exactly the way that Satan works. It's just like having somebody rub your back. It just keeps petting you. You get in there, and Satan just pets you and pets you and pets you. Yeah. And if you're restless and you need something to do, he'll make you a deacon or a trustee, or they'll make you a preacher. They'll give you a sister something to do. They'll give you make you a secretary or project. Well, actually, they can even let you preach. Yeah. You know, because they're not like these old people that, you know, didn't like the women and didn't respect the women and wouldn't allow them to preach. No. We're modern now. We believe that the women can preach too. Inspired, anointed. It's partially true. Anointed, inspired, absolutely. A woman can be just as anointed and just as inspired.
Yes, sir.
And say plenty of good things.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Women aren't dumb. Women know the scripture. Women know this message.
Yes, sir.
You sit down with some sisters and talk to them about this message. They know this message.
Amen.
They understand this message. But if they're a child of God, they have a revelation that their pulpit is in their home to their children.
That's right.
It's not in the church.
Right.
It's a revelation. They have it.
Amen.
That's the reason why they dress like a woman, because they don't require that out there. You go out there in the world, they can dress any way they want to. It don't matter how much of their body they're showing, how much they're putting it on display. It doesn't matter. They can wear their dresses above their knees. They don't have to have any sleeves on. You're opening yourself up. Your body, a woman's body is sacred.
Amen.
And she should treat it that way. You just follow the prophet. You don't have to take anything I said. You just follow what he said. And you get it right.
Amen.
Because he got it right. Why is it the message don't go to the big places? Why isn't the message the big crusades like in the denominations? Huh? Why don't we have it like that? What's the reason? You just think. You think when the Syrophoenician woman came that Jesus tried to throw her off. He told her, he said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. Right. Now, you just tell me how many people you know that I could call a dog from the pulpit and them stay in church.
Right.
Huh? We got a lot of pride today. We got a lot of ego today. We got a lot.
Amen.
Yeah. But Jesus told her, it's not meat to take the children's bread, this spiritual food that we have, and give it to dogs. He was putting her to the test. And do you know what she said? We're going to read it in a few minutes. You know what she said? Truth.
Right.
Truth, Lord. That's what she said. Truth, Lord. Elijah tried to shake off Elisha.
Right.
Did he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He said, you wait right here. I'm going to go over here and I'll come back. He said, oh no. As the Lord liveth, I'll not leave you. I done heard the promise.
Mm-hmm.
The promise is if I see you go up,
mm-hmm.
then I will have a double portion.
Yeah.
Don't try to get me to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
No. I will be with you until that moment. As the Lord liveth, I will not leave your side. When God gives you a revelation of the voice of God in this day, you will be like Elisha.
Right.
There's no way that you will leave it. You won't leave him at home. You won't leave him in the car. You won't leave him anywhere. You will be there with him at all times.
Amen.
Everywhere you go, you and him will be together. Didn't the devil think he could shake Jesus off? You just do this and I'll give you this. Do this, I'll give you this. 132. It's not their food. See? Oh, he said, listen. He said, why is it that the message don't go out to these great big places? This is the answer. This is the answer.
Amen.
It's not their food. It's not the church so-called food. It's the bride food. It's a spiritual food in season. See? It would make them sick at their stomachs. It's too rich for them, see? See, you can't do it. But for the children, it's bread. It's life. It's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise be to God. That's right. It's not their food. That's why it don't go out to these places. That's why it don't produce all these things that they think it ought to produce. No, it's for the children. It's for the bride. It's only for the bride.
Amen.
It's not for anybody else. That's right. Now, I want to read in Matthew 15. He's talking about this Syrophoenician woman. And so you just bear with me as I'm throwing these in. And then what I wanted to read is several scriptures down, but I couldn't leave it out. I haven't read it in a long time. I used to quote it constantly, especially on the mission field, because it's a great challenge to people. But just Matthew 15, 7, we still got some time, so just bear with me. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now this is Jesus breaking the ground. You know, when you're going to plant seed, you first plow the ground. And so he's planting seed. And so these people, they're having to come from this natural carnal religion that they have. Now he's trying to bring them now into spiritual revelation. And so everything that they were doing was done in a natural way. All their worship was natural. It was all these different acts and things that they had to do. And so their thinking was the same way. It was a natural. So to them, and he's going to say it in a minute, so it was the washing of the hands. This was a part of their religion. This was a holy thing to them. And those things become tradition. Okay? I remember one time Brother Benner and I was way up in the mountains, and we were coming from Markapur over to Sri Salem, and we come around this curve in the road, and that's how the roads are up there in the mountains, just weaving back and forth, back and forth. And somebody started putting, maybe there was a couple of scripture there, but then there was these sayings. And one of them said, cleanliness is next to godliness. And they put it just like it was a scripture. Yeah. You know? And I looked at it and I thought, almost, almost a scripture, but not a scripture. Okay, it doesn't fit. And Jesus destroyed that thing. That idea takes you back. It takes you back to the Old Testament. Because that kind of cleanliness and that washing of this and washing of that, washing of pots, washing the hands, doing all of that, that was a custom. That was a tradition. And I'm not saying don't do it, but I'm just saying you'll be a lot tougher if you don't. We've gone so far the other way now that they don't have any immunity. So that, there's sometimes you ought to get a little dirt on your hands. Amen. And eat it. They already think I'm crazy, so I'll tell you. God helped me. The first time I went to India, I was sick for a month. The second time I went, I was sick for 3 weeks. The third time I went, I was sick for 2 weeks. The fourth time, I was sick for a week. The fifth time I went, I was sick for 3 days. And Brother Goomba one time, and I just, of course, in those days, we didn't have water. They didn't have water, and we had to drink these little Italian drinks, sodas, and they were hot. And it's just all we could find. It was only liquid we had. They didn't sell bottled water, but we discovered quickly that the water was killing us. It was just causing havoc in our systems. And then Brother Goomba coming from Africa, he was already tough. And by those days, this was many days in, many years in, so they had figured out what they could cook for me. Because in those early days, I was just eating dry rice because that's all I could handle. And rice is really good for your stomach. So Goomba comes. So when they feed me, he eats with me. And then when they feed Benjamin, he eat with Benjamin. And I was like, finally, I talked to him one night. I said, Brother, I said, how do you eat it? I said, don't that do anything? He said, oh, yeah, it does. He says, you feel it later. But he could eat it. And I marvel because I never could. I never could eat the curry and the it's so hot. And we go places where the Indians that were traveling with us was complaining that it was too hot for them. So they have hot where they live, but then you go some places and it's extreme hot. So let me get off this. See, verse 8. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart, this is what he's after now. He's after the heart. That's where it's always been headed. See, it's been, they were doing it with their hands. They were doing it with their mind. They were doing these different things, but it was headed to the heart. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called. Now he's fixing to tear down some of those tradition, some of those doctrines. He's going to tear it down right now. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand.
That's right.
Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man. Are you listening?
Right.
But that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man.
Yes, sir.
Now here's the marvelous part. Then came his disciples and said to him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended Did you know you offended them? All these religions here, you offended them. After they heard this saying. But he answered and said, every plant, every seed, every word that the Father speaks. Every word the Father speaks. See, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up.
Amen.
Amen. That spiritual seed, that's the only thing it's going to hold. That natural seed, it don't mean anything.
Amen.
No, it don't. It started off meaning something. It was a pure line. And then, where did it go? Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. See? That's a pretty hard statement if you think about it. Let them alone. It's like, and we say, we teach, nobody knows who is and who isn't. So we say, speak, witness. But there comes a time. If God can lead you to speak to somebody, God can lead you to not speak to somebody. If God can tell you to say something to one, He can also tell you, don't waste your time.
Right.
Same God.
Right.
Because He knows. I don't know. He knows.
Right.
Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us the parable. And Jesus said, are you also yet without understanding? You don't know. You don't know. Do not you yet understand? He says it twice. He's really rubbing it in. That whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drought. But those things which proceed out of the mouth, that which is coming out of the mouth, see, come forth from the heart.
Right.
What you're speaking now, that's showing what's in here. And they defile the man. See, that was part of their religion. Those things, they made it a part. They made it so that made them look bad. Jesus talked about them. He said they like to go into the public square, the marketplaces, and do their ceremonies and do their prayers in front of everyone and do this. Jesus said, go in your closet. If it's just a show, just go in your closet.
Amen.
For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts and false witness and blasphemy.
Right.
And you can bring that right over into the spiritual.
Amen.
You can, Brother Branham said, at one time that was all natural. But he said, when you are running somebody down, you're killing their influence.
Right.
When you're talking behind somebody's back,
right,
you're destroying their character.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Yes, sir.
You can bring all of that right into the spiritual realm. And what we can do with words, the things that we speak, the things that we're saying. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands defile not a man. He's bringing him out of the natural carnal idea. And he is working them into a spiritual relationship because that's what was beginning from Calvary. Now they were going to begin into the spiritual side of things. They were beginning to have a spiritual understanding of things. And that's where we are now. That's where we are now. This thing is not natural now. This is a spiritual relationship between you and God.
Amen.
And there's no nothing you can do in the natural. There's no ordinances that you can do. There's no traditions that you can do. There's no customs that you can do. There's nothing you're going to do now to make your relationship with God a better thing. Because it has come now to one thing, and that's Christ in you.
Amen.
And there's no more. There's no more of that. He is not a mediator today. Brother, sister, that's a revelation that we have to come to. If we don't come to that revelation, then we should say the seals are not open. Because if you read this book and you understand that God was revealing the book of Revelation, the book of Revelations, that He was opening those things up, He was showing us how, where redemption started, not just Calvary, but He took all the way back, and He brought it all the way up through Calvary, and then He brought it all the way to the seed going in the ground, then He brought it in the resurrection coming back up, and it comes back today into the fullness of the grain, the fullness of the seed, the fullness of the Word. Amen. And the Spirit coming and anointing that to make it live. And so that, when He brought that, it was redemption was finished.
Amen. That's right.
You can imagine the things that shocked them. Think how many times Jesus was telling them. Think for the Jews. When they came to Jesus and they said, "We are Abraham's seed." And He said, "Yeah, you are. You are Abraham's seed. But if you were really Abraham's seed, you would believe Me." Is that right? So what was the thing that He was bringing them into, and that had to be a shock and an awakening? This had to be an awakening for the disciples. Because He's telling them now, yeah, you're children of Abraham, but that don't mean anything. Well, up until that day, it meant everything.
Amen.
Being the children of Abraham to these, all of these separated denominational believers of Israel, it meant something.
Yes, sir.
It meant something because they were of the seed of Abraham. And so they looked to that natural side. And Jesus now is bringing them in to the spiritual side of it. And He's telling them. Now this was their spiritual food. This was the spiritual food in their day. And it was coming little by little, word upon word, line upon line, revelation upon revelation. He was opening this thing up to them. So slowly bringing them into the spiritual side. And that's what happened. And that's what happened through the Pentecostal age. The prophet was bringing us back to everything that they had lost. And then He was going to take us through the door. Then the invitation to come up higher. Brother, sister, that's where the bride is. She has been caught up. She has been caught up into the presence of God. Brother Branham said, when them church ages ended, the first verse of the fourth chapter, the invitation was, come up higher. And that's exactly what happened.
Amen.
We thought that when all of the Ephesian age had been restored, in the seventh church age, when all of that had been restored, and all the Bibles opened up, and the mystery of serpent seed, and these different things had opened up now. And they began to see these things. We thought that was it. We thought that was the climax. We thought it was done. We thought it was finished. But then we find out that once the Bible was complete, read your book. Read your book. It's in there. Once the book was complete, then it was closed, it was sealed, it was finished. And when it was finished, then there was something else that had to be done.
Amen.
That was, Christ was going to come Himself. Not something outside of the Scripture. It's the Scripture. It's the Scripture that promised that another mighty angel would come down and put one foot on the land, one foot on the sea, and He would speak those seven thunder mysteries. And they would be a total secret to the public. And it would be a revelation that's hidden in the message that He was speaking it, just like Jesus was speaking it. And the people would hear it and it would go over their head. And that these disciples, they would come to Him and they say, "Lord, reveal to us. Declare to us, what are You talking about? What does that parable mean?" And the same thing's happening to you in the spiritual realm.
Amen.
This spiritual food is being revealed to you by the Spirit of God.
Right.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We want to be led of God. We want to be filled with the Spirit of God. We want to manifest Jesus Christ. But sometimes it's like we're just afraid to stand up to it. We're afraid to admit it. We're afraid to say, I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God.
Amen. That's right.
If you are, then you have rights.
Amen.
You have everything that He gave you. Everything that He promised you.
Yes, sir.
When I go to my house, I got rights.
That's right.
That nobody else has.
Amen.
And I know my door is open to anybody, anytime. And that's what I love in Kenya. But we'll take it a step further. Brother Branham said, the living room is where you entertain. Okay, this is your home, your family. Anybody can come in and you have this fellowship. But you don't go all over the house. You don't go wandering through the house.
Amen.
Now, you can do that at your house. But you don't go to somebody else's house and just wander through the house. No, 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 no. You don't have that right. Huh? It's not your house. See? And that's how it is in the kingdom of God. In this relationship with Jesus Christ, you have rights.
Yes, sir.
That He has given you. You have promises that He has given you.
Amen.
He said, you ask whatsoever you will.
That's it.
Brothers, there's got to be somebody that believes that and accepts that and manifests that. And He said, more so in this last day.
Yes, sir.
There has to be a people that can ask God for something and believe it, the impossible, and God give it to them.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's the bride.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Verse 20 once again. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. That's right. He's trying to give them spiritual food. Spiritual food. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But He answered her not a word. And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But He answered and said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. Praise be to God.
Amen.
Called a dog, and then she begins to worship Him. Then she humbles herself. Then she loses all of her pride, all of her ego, all of everything else, and she comes and falls at her feet. I would say that that's a revelation.
Yes.
That's a revelation that she knew this was the Son of God.
Amen.
She knew that this was the voice of God. That she knew that this was sent from God. And when you receive this message the same way, it's going to be different. Your life will be different. There was a time that you held on to this. We still hold on to this. Not taking anything away from this. We're not taking away from the Bible. At all. It is the Bible who identified this messenger.
That's right.
That's what people are failing. Mm-hmm. It is the Bible who told us that the seven church ages was going to be revealed. It is the Bible who told us that the seven seals was going to be revealed.
Right.
It was the Bible who told us that in the evening time there would be light.
Amen.
It's the Bible that told us that. People, it's a deception by Satan.
Yes, sir.
That's what it is. Anytime you see somebody walk away from this message, not from this group or that group, but from this message, it's a deception of Satan.
Amen.
There is no life outside of the message of the age. That's as simple as it could be.
Amen.
And the best example that I find in the Bible is Noah's day. It's just so cut and dry. It's just cut and dry. Noah preached for 120 years. Noah had a simple message. If you get in this ark, you're going to be saved. If you don't get in this ark, you'll be lost. Okay? So, who all was saved? The ones who got in.
Right.
Who all was lost? Everybody who didn't get in. It was just that simple. There was no second chances. There was no nothing else about it. And then you come to another cold fact. And that is, since Noah's day, never, not even once, not even a hint, not even a possibility, was there ever an opportunity or the Word of God or any prophet or anybody come and say that you could be saved like that ever again? Never. There was never anyone come on the scene. Jesus didn't do it. There was the Word of God for that day. It was the only salvation, the only redemption. Okay? It's all there was. It was Noah's Ark. In Moses' day, you had to stand with him.
Amen.
All you had to do was stand with him. And he sent 12 spies down there. 10 of them come back, and they counted themselves unworthy. 2 of them said, we're more than able. Those 10, they were going to go away.
That's right.
They were going to die in the wilderness with all of the rest of them that they represented.
Yep.
But 2 of the original 2 million was going in. Was it a little group?
Right there.
Huh? You think Noah's group was small? There was only 2.
Right.
There was only 2 of the original. Then she came and worshipped him and said, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs. Eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Praise be to God. It don't matter how you look at this. You can't help but see the humility. You can't help but see how that she struck a chord in God's heart. That no matter how much he tried to turn her away, how much he tried to push her off, there are several of you here that are parents that have children. How many times have you had a child come and want something and you say no? Want to go somewhere, they want something, you say no. And they ask you again, you say no. And they ask you again, you say no. And they just came on, but Mom, I'll do this, or I'll do that, or I'll do this. And finally they hit the right chord. And you say, okay. Huh? There's a way. There's a way to touch that chord.
That's right.
And she did it. First thing she did was agree. Whatever you say is truth. The second thing she did is she fell down and worshiped him. Yeah. We need more of that.
Yes, sir.
Just say it's the truth. Just say it's the truth. Lord, I don't understand. I don't know. Lord, I want to know. I want to understand. But I don't. But it's the truth. It's just nothing but the truth. This is the mouth of God. This is the voice of God. This is the one that you spoke through. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Whatever you want. Huh? Is that what he's saying?
Yes, sir.
Whatever you want. You say how it's going to be. That's what he told the prophet. He said, what are you doing? He is like, he's dumbfounded. He said, well, I'm hunting. He said, what are you hunting? He said, I'm hunting squirrels. He said, well, how many do you want? Just somebody helping you through? Just somebody trying to get you to recognize? Because Brother Branham said he was always stumped by that scripture. Always stumped. And he said, what are you hunting? He said, squirrels. He said, well, how many do you want? And Brother Branham said, well, you didn't want to be greedy. This is a good time to be greedy. Huh? Mm-hmm. He was on the main line. Huh? Mm-hmm. He could ask for anything. He said, well, but God knows. Just like he knew with Hattie Wright.
Right.
He knew.
That's right.
He knew she was going to ask for the right thing. He said, well, three. I'd like, he said, well, then speak about it. Huh? Mm-hmm. That is another key. Another key to open the door. Then speak about what you want.
Amen.
And he said, I want three young red squirrels.
Right.
Now, he could have said gray squirrels. He could have said fox squirrels. He could have said many different kinds. He could have said squirrels that wasn't there in Kentucky. Right. He could have said the gray squirrels that are down in Florida or here in North Carolina. He could have said many things. He said, I want three young red squirrels. So, what happened next? Did he take over? No, he didn't. God said, well, where do you want them? Where do you want them? And he said, well, this is really getting out there. Yeah. It's really getting out there. He's the same supernatural God,
yes, sir,
in your life that he was in the prophet's life, that he was in the Syrophoenician woman's life, that he was all the way through the Bible. He's the same God today.
Yes, sir.
The problem is not with God. The problem is we need to get our life in 100% in tune with God.
Right.
That's what we need. Complete surrender. That's what she did. When he called her a dog, she said, truth. Truth, Lord. That's exactly right. And she didn't stop there. She went to her knees and she began to worship him. She surrendered all.
Yes, sir.
Paragraph 131. We're going, let's see, 134. Dear God, food in due season, spiritual food, something the world knows nothing of. How we hear our Lord say that night or that day down there in Samaria, the same place that Elisha walked up and said, the dew will not fall till I call for it. See? There stood Jesus there telling his disciples. Said, Master, why don't you eat? And he said, I have food that you know not of. Praise be to God. Truly, Lord, his food was to do the will of God. To see the works of God made manifest in this hour. Huh? Is that our food? That should be our food. Huh? To do the will of God, to a complete surrender of our lives. What the Father shows me, that I do. And the Father, and Father, so is it today. The church, the true believers, the body of believers has access to food, spiritual food. See? Nobody knew but the prophet.
Amen.
What that woman had, that widow woman that Elijah came to. Nobody knew what she had.
Right.
It didn't go to the king. It didn't go everywhere else. No. You know, that was the problem with Naaman.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that story?
Yes, sir.
That little girl, God planted her down there. There's another story of a woman now, just like Joseph, that God let get sold into slavery. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this little girl, now she's the servant for, I don't know, the wife or somebody in Naaman's family. And so she's there and she's grown some respect there and she's telling her mistress, and that's what the scripture said, mistress, and said, I would that my Lord Naaman would be in Samaria where we have a prophet there and he would heal my Lord of that leprosy. God sent this little girl into slavery to go down there so that God could vindicate his word and show his power. Amen. You think you're in some trial. You think you're in some tribulation. You think you're going through a hard time. If you're a child of God, you are on a mission trip. Right. You are on a journey. God is using you for a purpose.
Amen.
Huh? That's right. She didn't stop talking about her God. She didn't stop talking about the prophet. She said, I would to God that you were down there in my country.
That's right.
Because we got a prophet who can heal that leprosy off your arm.
Amen.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Joseph didn't quit when he was down there in the prison all those years.
No, sir.
No. He knew that God sent him down there.
Amen.
That didn't make it easy. That didn't make it tired. That didn't make it an enjoyable ride.
That's right.
No. But God had a purpose. God was going to fulfill his word.
Amen.
And what did Naaman do? Just like the rest of them, he goes to the king. She didn't say nothing about the king. She said the prophet. Huh? That's what's wrong. You're going to the councilman, you're going to the preacher, you're going to this one, you're going to that one. Go to the mouth of God.
Yes, sir.
That's where God is. That's where God's speaking.
Amen.
He goes to the king. The king writes him a letter. It's just like church to church. Oh, you got your letter? You need to move your letter over here. You're moving over here. You're coming over here. You need to move your letter. Do this, do this, do this. What is all of that? The king writes the letter, sends it down to Israel. The king of Israel now, he should have been a real spiritual leader. He gets the letter and he rips his clothes. He rents his clothes. You know, that's when something was just a shock to you, a fear, a scare, or whatever. He rent his clothes. And he said, am I God? Will you come here? You've come to make a quarrel. You've come here to argue. You've come to fight. You've come to do these things. But God was already on top of it. But so it could be a witness against them. It went that way. And the prophet knew what was going on. And he sends somebody over there. And he says, tell the king to send them to me. So that they can know that there's a prophet in Israel.
Amen.
That there's a God in Israel. You just send them to me. There's somebody over here that believes the word of God. There's somebody over here that can hear from God. And so he goes on right on down there to the prophet's house. And what a difference between him and that woman. The prophet don't come out. Now Naaman was in all of his glory. He had his army. He had his best clothes on. He had his sword. He had his shield. He had his helpers. He had everything. He was ready to show himself and show what power he had, what glory he had, how much he had come up. And he was the chief captain of the Syrian army. And the prophet don't even come out and greet him. He was wroth. He was upset. There was no way at this point he was going to believe anything that this man said because he didn't treat him right. But he sent his servant to tell him, go down to the river and go down seven times. Just go down, dunk yourself seven times, and you'll be made whole. He was mad. And he was so mad that he wasn't going to do it. He was going back home. And probably contemplating just killing the guy. And maybe starting a war while he was there. He was, the scripture says, wroth. And then there was some humble little brother that was in the group there that said, oh, great captain. Oh, great leader that you are. If that man would have told you something hard to do, to really challenge you, you would have loved it. You would have just went and done it. But he just said, just go dip seven times. Why not just give it a try? Why not just give it a try? Thank God for... for that little girl.
Right.
Thank God for that little girl that was sold into slavery, that held her testimony.
Amen.
Don't you wonder how those things sometimes come about? Mm-hmm. How she had this revelation of this prophet, and even the king didn't know? Brother, sister, it's hidden food. It's spiritual food in due season.
Amen.
And the world don't know nothing about it. And if it's in your heart, it's between you and God. It is a it's a spiritual feast that's going on. It's a spiritual love affair that's going on.
That's right.
And Father, so is it today. The church, the true believer, the body of believers has access to food, spiritual food, that the nominals know nothing about. The world knows nothing of this food, Father, but your church, your people, the bride of your Son, they love it. And we have access. Now listen, we have access to healing of our bodies. And when the doctors has failed, and we have access to this, it's one of the foods of God that he gave to his church. Amen. And promised it in the last day to his believing children. And Father, help us to be believing children. And for all things are possible to those believers. Grant it, dear God. We ask it in Jesus' name. I'm just going to tell you something now. And I'm ashamed of myself. How many times that we see somebody suffering, and we just say, God will heal it, God will do this, God will do that, we got it. But we don't speak it. God wants you to speak it. God wants you to declare it. God wants you to claim it.
Yes,
and if you don't speak it, you know, that's how you with your children too. You want them to say it. Sometimes you know something they want or something you want to hear it. You want to hear it from them. You want them to come and say, I need this or I want this or whatever it is. You just want to hear the words. There's something satisfying about it. You know, there was a woman one time that kept going to this unjust judge. And she would go to him daily, just constantly complaining because she had been taken advantage of. And so she would complain. And Jesus said, hear this. This woman, this judge, he took care of her need because he was tired of it. He was tired of her crying, tired of listening to her argument. He said, she's wearying me. She just bothered me day after day after day. But it's not like that with God. He said, if that guy would do that, and he's not even righteous, he said, how much more is a righteous God? How much more is the Creator of heavens and earth that loves you and puts you here for his purpose? How much more is he going to supply your needs? Paragraph 157. Now he told us, if thou canst believe, if you can say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt it in your heart, but believe that what you said will come to pass, you can have it. And when you pray, believe that you receive it. And it'll be given to you. See, what a promise. Now, the man who preaches the social gospel don't believe that at all. You listening? He'd walk up to the door. He'd look in. He'd stand there and say, well, that's just another bunch of holy rollers. And walk away. See? But he don't know that this is the hidden food. See? He don't know that this is the secret thing that's hid from him. See? He don't know it. It's pitiful. See? A mind that's naked and miserable and blind and don't know it. That's a bad thing. Amen. Now you take this quote right here, and Brother Branham said, a mind that's naked. And I don't know how many times this is in 1965. Brother Branham referred to this scripture, I don't know how many times, maybe 100 times, many times. Miserable, blind, naked, and don't know it. That's a prophecy of the seventh church age. And he always was referring to the women going into a state of undress. Where, and we have a lot of Kenyans here. And so, you know that, you know, this country has been undressed for, I don't know, 100 years. I guess 100 years. They started undressing back in the 20s, early 1900s. They started undressing. But you from Kenya, if you watch the difference in the last 15 to 20 years in Kenya, you see that spirit had arrived. You look at the older women. I can remember when I first arrived, I told Brother Guma, when I first arrived, Nairobi was like, it just did something to me. When I would go to, and you now, and I'm sure there was crime there then, okay? There was crime, there was all of that, sure. But you go to Nairobi at lunchtime, and I'm going to tell you what, coming from America, it would just move me. There was street preachers all over the place. There was lunchtime, and everybody come out into the square between the buildings. There was this kind of like park or the sidewalk, and there's places to sit. And everybody come out there to eat their lunch. And there could be a dozen preachers. There were some men. There wasn't too many women, but there were some women. But most of them was men. And they were just one there and one there and one there. And the people, like here, you might every once in a while get somebody. Nobody stops and listens. Nobody talks to them. There, every one of them had a crowd of people around them. Every one of them. People were listening. People wanted to hear something. They wanted to hear about God. When you think of a religious nation, that's what you think of. Not like here, people don't want to talk about God. People don't want to know God. But there, it was moving to see just all over the place. And I just marveled. I just marveled. Within just a few years. And another thing, almost every one of those women, they were dressed like Sister Esther. They were completely covered. They dressed with dresses completely covered their body. And not so tight that every part of their body bulged out so you could see every form. No. They were dressed in humility. They were dressed in holiness. Within a few years, I watched that thing. And that first time I went there, brother, I don't think I ever seen a woman in pants. I don't think I seen one woman in pants. And that was just right around 20 years ago. And so now, maybe half of the women are wearing pants. I don't know. It's so bad now. And they're wearing shorts. And which was first, and there's still people there, the older people look at that and they're in shock. They have a hard time believing it. Especially if they come from the villages. They look at that, and that when they were coming up, that was a shame and a disgrace. But that's how it was here. That's what people don't realize. That's how it was here when you go back. And when it first started, you know, the policemen would lock women up. They would take you off the street when you walked out like that. There were some towns. Other towns were welcoming it. That's the problem. Some towns were welcoming it. The people liked it. But the old timers, no, this was a shock to them. They'd never seen anything like it. And there was, I can remember reading in the newspaper, different places across the country where the policeman would lock a woman up because she was in a state of undress. Her body was being exposed. And it's a spirit. It's a spirit that's come on the women in the last days. And somehow or another, Satan is making them feel like that this is empowering. This is a beautiful thing. This is a wonderful thing. No, it's the spirit of Satan. It's the spirit of Satan that's doing that. And you go now, you walk through Nairobi now, you won't see as many preachers. You won't see as many women wearing dresses. It's changed, brother. Sister, it's changed. It's the world over. We're in the judgment, and people are making their decisions, their choices for God. We're either going to follow God, we're going to full surrender to God, or we're going to go with the world. And it's just time. It's just time to surrender. And just, I know my time is up here, but we could just go a long time. This don't get old. This just gets better and better. So I'm going to stop right there. And we're going to ask you to stand together with us. I'm going to have Brother Michael come and sing a song that I'm going to pray first. Lord Jesus, Father, we read of these great vindications of the voice of the spiritual food in every age, Lord. Over and over and over, how you come on the scene, Lord, to vindicate your presence so that your people would know that the true and the living God was on the scene, and that getting away from the corruption, getting away from the lies and all of the different things that Satan has produced and persuaded the people to move into in the name of God, in the name of religion. Father, may you give us spiritual revelation. Lord, let us recognize every move, every trick of the devil. Lord, in all things. Lord, that Satan would not get two words in, and we would recognize that conniving and lying spirit and attitude. And Lord, let us give respect to your word, to your presence, Lord, to your people. Every child, every son and daughter of God, Lord, let us recognize that it's the presence of God. And Lord, that they're representing all of heaven, all the host. Lord, we thank you and praise you. May you bless each one now. Bless those that are in need. Bless those that have need of healing in their body, spiritual, physical, financial, whatever it be, Lord. May you just come on the scene. So we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you, brother.
Amen. I know you enjoyed that. I know that was for me this morning. Thinking about what he said, to claim it, you know. Think about every aspect of our lives. We go to work, we claim this is me, this is my title, this is my position, this is what I'm supposed to do. You go to the bank, you need some money, you go in there, you tell them your name, you tell them this, I can do this. Everywhere we claim, we go, we claim who we are. This is me, this is me, this is me. It's multiplied a million times when you're a son of God. You got to claim who you are. If it's a revelation to you, then step out on that and understand what God has given you. Understand what God has done for you. Understand that he can give you more than you're even able to ask for. You can't even ask too much of God. And you pray for me, because I have an unspoken, I have a request, and I'm not a good communicator. I don't tell my wife everything, but I have a request. And it's absolutely going to take God to come on the scene for me. Amen. And so I'm claiming who I am. And I'm claiming that I know that nothing's too big for God. There's nothing, absolutely nothing. It's just ask.
Amen.
Just ask. And ask, you know, just, you know, the Syrophoenician woman, he called her a dog. And like the brother said, you know, that's not an easy thing. I wouldn't get my feelings hurt. But she said, yeah, I'm a dog, but I get the crumbs that fall.
Amen.
I'm not asking for the big thing. Just give me the crumbs.
Amen.
More than sufficient with the crumbs. I just want the crumbs. Because what's on the Father's table is life.
Amen.
And if it falls to the floor, the dog's going to get the life. And I'm not saying, I'm not trying to say we're dogs. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying. Eat from the Father's table. Eat from the Father's table.
Amen.
This joy that I have, this world didn't give to me.
Amen.
Go ahead. You're dismissed. Lord bless you. Look forward to seeing you Wednesday night.